kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe, as my voice cracks at the beginning there. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I mean, I'm not sounding like I'm prepubescent, so I must be doing fine.
Hi, Cole. How are you doing today? What's up, everyone?
I'm nailing this shit. I can put a sentence together without my voice cracking.
The SML Podcast. So how are you?
I mean, I didn't die this week, so I guess I'm fine.
So par for the course?
Yeah, normal. You know, my body hates me.
Dark Carry Mika on. Said Next. That voice is throwing her off. It's freaking her out. Oh, man. I've had a boring week myself. Just, I don't know, nothing's going on in our lives to talk about. That's a shame.
It's the season, around here, all we're focused on is like throwing seeds in the ground. And we haven't even been able to do that because we had this weird ass cold snap last week. So we've been stuck waiting to plant. You know, we had 90 degree days in February this year. And I was sitting there like, there's no way we're going to make it to May 19th with frost. That's just ridiculous. I don't want to wait. I lost a few plants, is what I'm trying to say. because they got frosted.
That'll teach you.
Yeah, I really should pay attention to the Farmer's Almanac and not my...
not your intuition.
Miles, I guess, yeah. Just that urge, like, oh, it's sunny, let's throw shit in the ground, see what happens. With no pre-planning.
Pretty much.
But... at least the rest of my shit's doing fine. My ducks are doing good. They're getting their feathers.
Aww.
Yeah, the puddle ducks are killing it, man.
Are they still in the house or no?
They come in at night because, again, it's been cold and they're not fully feathered yet. So they're still coming in at night, and then I put them back out in the morning. They go out to the grow-out pen.
Whoa, shit. Vertically Impaired just dropped $10 donation. What? I don't have a sound effect for that. Dropping donations.
It doesn't even work as well. Quick, we need you.
George, help us. Help us, George. Do I play a bitty one?
I mean, play the long bit one and it'll just be, you know, good enough.
Okay, here we go.
Dropping bits all over your pathetic face.
There we go. Dark Mika said play them all one after the other. Well, fuck it. Here's the next one.
Dropping bits. All over your fucking face. Wet pancakes.
I will never get over wet pancakes.
It's so bad.
It is so bad. Oh, my Lord. Vertically Impaired, thank you again so much for your generosity. I always appreciate it. You're a longtime sub and a pretty okay guy as well.
Yeah.
We got to play Rock Band more. Yeah. Dark Mika never heard the wet pancake part before.
That's the funny part is I don't get to hear any of them. I have no fucking idea what they say until Joe gives me an audio cue.
Did you not listen like the first time I played them?
Yeah, but I don't remember shit. That's the whole point of why I need 9,742 medications.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'd forget my name if somebody wasn't going, hey, mom, every day.
Oh, Lord. Well, anyway, a lot of news this week. Should we dive into it?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. The first thing to talk about, after only just a little over 2 years, the Switch has outsold total PS4 sales in Japan.
That's impressive.
In 2 years. So as big as the PS4 has been, we might have a new champion.
Wow.
Yeah, again, that's just in Japan. Doesn't count America or Europe or anywhere else in the world, but that's still really impressive.
Well, especially considering the PlayStation 4, everybody hollers that's why it gets all those JRPGs, is because it's popular in Japan.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's not as popular as they think it is.
Who knows? At least the Xbox is still dying in Japan, so some you things know, never
at,
change.
At least it's there to die in Japan. I mean, I don't know.
Speaking of Nintendo, they are currently offering a limited time program where you can choose, where you can purchase 2 Nintendo Switch video game vouchers for $99.99 and use them to redeem 2 digital games from a list that currently has like 30 different games on there, including Mario Maker 2, Smash Brothers, Super Mario Party, Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild. It's like all these big first-party Nintendo games. You could choose any 2 of them. The vouchers must be used within a year of purchase, and the program is only running through the end of July. So basically, if you want to get 2 Switch games, you could save $20 and buy these vouchers and get them digital.
Is there a limit to how many vouchers you can buy?
I believe they said 8.
Oh, okay. So that's, you know, a lot still.
I don't know if it's 8 pairs or 8 vouchers.
Oh, okay. But
either way,
but still, even 4 vouchers for 8 pairs is still a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have just bought a whole nother Nintendo Switch for that amount of money. So, you know.
I might look into doing it, though, because I kind of wanted Mario Maker 2 at the end of the month anyway, and I could use it to pick up maybe Yoshi's Crafted World or whatever the hell it's called, or Super Mario Party. I don't know. Something.
It does seem like a good deal.
Save $20, which isn't bad considering Nintendo games never fucking go on sale.
Yeah. You can then use that $20 to buy some Nintendo indies.
Yes.
Nindies. I feel so fucking stupid saying that.
Nindies.
That's why I stopped myself and was like, Nintendo indies.
Nindies.
It just sounds dumb.
Just shudder at the word. Did you hear this? 12 games are going to be leaving Game Pass at the end of the month.
I was going to say I heard 18, but that included the ones that left on the 15th. So
yeah, we already lost 6. Another 12 are going away.
That's quite a few.
It is, and there's some big ones here. For the original Xbox, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic is gone, which is a bummer. Okay. Xbox 360, Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga. And then on Xbox One, D4 Dark Dreams Don't Die. Although that one was removed before and it came back, so I wouldn't be shocked to see that come back again. DMC Devil May Cry Definitive Edition.
I have got to find time to play that before it goes.
Jump Jet Rex. Night Squad. Laser League, which is a bummer because that's an online game and I'm sure losing...
That's gonna hurt.
Yeah, that's going to kill the player base. But, oh
that's
well.
A shame.
Layers of Fear, Saints Row 4 Reelected, Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, Super Mega Baseball, and Super Time Force. So a lot of games gone.
Okay, so a couple of them that are leaving have previously been games with gold, too. So it could make sense that they just assume most people who are going to play those already have them.
Yeah. Dark Mika says, damn it, I was going to do Saints Row. Well, you still have time. You have until the end of the month. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite superhero game. So,
Saints Row 4 is your favorite superhero game?
Yes.
I didn't like 4.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I just couldn't get into it. 3 was just so ridiculous and absurd, but it was just grounded enough to be tolerable still. And 4 just shit the bed on everything absurd. And I was like, I can't keep up with this. It's just too stupid for me now.
That's why I loved it so much, because it was just so batshit crazy. It was so over the top.
I have a limit of how far over the top I can hack. Like, there has to be some kind of rooting in reality for me. And once it goes beyond that, I'm just like, well, I'm done. It's just a weird quirk and game preference that I don't have a logistic or a logical reason for. It's just the way I am about it.
Yeah, well, not every game is for everyone.
Yeah, it's fine. David played the shit out of it. He enjoyed it, but I was just like, Yeah, I'm good. Next.
Next news or next game?
Next news. Game? Okay. Game. No, because we were talking about there are the game. Fuck are we doing?
I don't know. We were talking about games leaving Game Pass.
How many did we get through?
All of them.
Oh, well, the next. Shit.
The official E3 floor plan has been revealed, and surprisingly, Activision is not having a booth this year.
I'm not surprised because they're so far up Sony's ass.
I'm sure Call of Duty will be at the Sony booth, yeah.
I hope that...
There is no Sony this year.
There is no Sony booth this year. I hope whoever gives us our codes for Call of Duty doesn't hear me say that. But it's true.
It is.
The Activision CEOs are riding that Sony dick really hard, and they're not willing to jump off those nuts, so...
I wonder what they're going to do.
Not there.
I wonder what they're going to do about showing off the new Call of Duty, since, you know, that's where they always showed it, was at E3.
Whenever Sony does whatever they're going to do in place, they'll probably show it then.
Maybe.
I know that there was already a leak about it. I don't know technically if it was even a leak or anything, but... God damn it, Gabriel, walking on my keyboard and across my planner and shit, making a mess of things. Robert Bowling, who used to be the community manager for Infinity Ward before they broke off and became Respawn and whatever was left that pretends to still be Infinity Ward. He was the community manager back when Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3 came out, and he recently posted a GIF. Don't fight me. I'll fuck you up.
So posted a GIF.
Uh-huh. And it was like, it was from Modern Warfare. It was Soap and Prass and Ghost. And then like the camera kind of zoomed in on Ghost. And then he had the date, and I think it was October 8th, if I remember correctly. And so it was pretty good at hinting that, you know, yeah, the next Infinity War, it's going to be a Modern Warfare. Yeah, it's going to have something to do with Ghost or Gaz or whichever you prefer to refer him to. And then we'll probably see it on the 8th of October. So that's... This is about the time of year that kind of stuff starts to permeate out as far as Call of Duty goes.
Yeah.
And they've never hesitated to just like straight up been like, surprise, here's a trailer, watch this shit. You know, or they'll do like Ubisoft did with Ghost Recon and be like, hey, keep an eye out, we're going to show you some shit. And everybody knows what it is, but you're still going to turn in and see what the fuck it looks like anyway.
True.
So I don't think they'll have any issues as far as getting eyes on it, especially if it's Modern Warfare 4. Everybody's just gonna like piss themselves immediately anyway.
Pretty much.
I'm gonna piss myself at me. after some of the ones now, World War 2 and Black Ops 4 were certainly improvements over the shithole that was Infinite Warfare. But if they said that they were bringing back Modern Warfare and it was going to be in tune to the old games and it was going to play like those and have maps like those, you might have me back, Call of Duty. You just might. I might actually get all of the prestige again in a Call of Duty game.
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Ask me in October.
I will. Anyway, a Taiwanese rating site has leaked a little bit of news. They unveiled what appears to be the Gears 5 cover art, as well as a September 10th release date. Which sounds very reasonable.
Yeah, I can't particularly see why it wouldn't. How long was the gap between Gears of War 4 being shown at E3 and then dropping? Do we know?
I don't remember. That's a lot of stuff to try and remember.
I don't know if I give enough fucks to Google it right now.
Well, Gears, they've said Gears is supposed to be this year.
Yeah.
So a September 10th release date makes sense. I could see that definitely being true.
Is Gears 5 going to come out before that little Funko Pop game, though?
I think the Funko Gears Pop is already available in some countries.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's been in testing. It's mobile, though.
So. Oh, okay then. Yeah.
Yeah. But the same Taiwanese site also revealed Ghostbusters, the video game remastered for the Xbox One from Mad Dog Games. It didn't mention any other platforms. I looked at the ratings thing. It only specifically mentioned Xbox, although I'd be shocked if it didn't show up on other platforms. But this is apparently a remaster of the last-gen Ghostbusters game, the good one, that had the original cast involved.
There was one last-gen?
Yeah, and it was really... And it's backward compatible.
What?
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Yeah, so there you go. Hopefully that'll come back as a fun game.
I'm intrigued.
Some more news. Shovel Knight Treasure Trove is currently on sale until May 22nd for all platforms down to $12.49, which is not only the May 22nd is not only when the sale will end, but apparently the price is going to be increasing soon as well with the arrival of the final two pieces of game content with, King Knight and the brawler, the fighting portion that they're working on. But
I don't follow Shovel Knight, so I'm not aware of what you're talking about.
Well, if you're interested in Shovel Knight, now's the time to get it while it's $13 instead of it's going to be increasing to $40.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time to pick it up then.
Yeah, if you've been on the fence about it, now is the fucking time. So do that. Dauntless is releasing on Xbox One, PS4, and the Epic Games Store soon. Not only soon, but May 21st, next week.
That is soon.
Yeah, it is. So I'm excited about this one. Is that what?
Is that coming to Game Pass?
No, it's free to play.
Oh, it is. That's where I was mixed up.
Yeah, it's a free-to-play kind of Monster Hunter-style game with a more cartoony graphic style. Ian plays it quite a bit on his channel, twitch.tv/doc_havoc, if you want to watch someone play that.
Nobody wants to watch Ian.
No one does. But, yeah, the game looks really, really cool. I've been watching him, and it's supposed to have full cross-play, so maybe we'll be able to partner up and kill some monsters.
Interesting.
I'm excited it's coming so quick, too.
Yeah.
Let's see what other news. A brand new trailer for EA Access promoting the service heading to the PS4 showed off a couple of games that are apparently hitting the vault between now and when the service launches in July. It showed as being in the vault FIFA 19, Battlefield 5, and A Way Out.
Oh, why did I think A Way Out was already there?
I don't know. Why did you?
I don't know, but I genuinely did think. I wonder how that will work if you're playing on an EA Access license, will you still be able to just invite anybody to play with you even if they don't have it?
I don't know how the invite system even worked, so who knows?
It was one person could own it and then just invite anybody else to play with them, whether they didn't have to own it to play it.
Oh, I know that. I didn't know if it was like done through a code or if there was a special version that they downloaded.
There's not anything special. You just launch the game, send an invite, and that was that. Yeah. Nifty. So I don't know how that would work with EA Access if they'll put a limitation on that and say, oh no, the other person has to have either the game or EA Access or just still let you invite anybody.
I don't know. We'll find out eventually.
I'm asking the hard questions.
And I have no answers.
Next.
apparently, there's talk that Anthem might be joining the vault sooner than later as well. There was some kind of EA conference call or meeting or something where they said the game performed well under expectations.
Yeah.
And there's talk of either it joining the vault much sooner than most would expect, or even the game possibly going free to play.
I don't see it going free to play, but it'll join the vault. Which I don't. Quite a few EA games have gone into the vault within like 7 to 10 month span.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, unless it happens like this month, that I would be all, oh, that was quick. I'd just be like, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked to see it by the end of the summer, honestly.
No. And I would have said that anyway without anybody even being like, oh my God, it's joining early. And be like, well, yeah, on the 7th month, most likely. They're idiots if they don't, because that game is struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Let's see, what else? 10 more titles have been announced for the Sega Genesis Mini, and this thing is looking to be a real winner. The 10 new titles announced are Landstalker, Mega Man The Wily Wars, Street Fighter II Special Championship Edition, Ghouls and Ghosts, Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle, Beyond Oasis, Golden Axe, Phantasy Star 4, Sonic Spinball, Vector Man, and Wonder Boy in Monster World. To me, the only real shame is the package still comes with 3-button controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine playing Street Fighter 2 on a fucking 3-button controller?
That does seem difficult.
That game is part of the reason why they created the 6-button controllers for the Genesis.
And Japan gets the 6-button,
yes,
right?
Yes, they do.
And we're just the sad. Why do game companies hate us? What did we do?
I don't know. But fuck. Sega announced that the 6-button controllers will be available in the U.S., but for an extra $20.
Of course.
It seems so wasteful to force those shitty 3-button controllers on us and then force us to buy the actual necessary controller. Like, that's such a waste of plastic and manufacturing and cost and money. Why? Why not just give everybody the 6-button controller?
Because money. Shareholders have to have a third yacht, Joe.
Yeah, I guess so.
How can you expect them to get through life with just 2 yachts?
Oh, boy. Last bit of news I have is that Nier Automata has passed 4 million copies sold across all platforms.
Wow.
4 million. So, Nier Automata, good job. Now we just need the original Nier to be backward compatible on the 360 and Xbox One, and we'd be good.
I never played the original Nier, but I did really like Automata.
It's sitting on my shelf, just waiting to be loved once again.
Do you ever actually play them, or do you just keep them?
I've played Nier.
But, like, when games go backward compatible?
I play some, yeah.
How do you find time?
I don't.
I have games that came out last week that I don't have time for. God damn.
Yeah, but do you have any news, anything you wanted to talk about? I know there was some news about Sony and Microsoft having some kind of partnership. Did you see that?
I did see that, and everybody's going to expect us to have thoughts and opinions, and I'm going to be perfectly honest. My redneck ass does not understand the deal. I don't really get it either.
It seems like it's a focus.
And I don't get it at the same time.
It seems like it's a focus on cloud gaming, which, you know, that's cool if Microsoft is going to use the Azure servers and let Sony be a part of it or Nintendo be a part of it or whoever
could lead to cross-platform purchases. Like, people were pissed specifically with Fortnite. Like, you buy your skins on PlayStation and then you don't have them on Xbox or Nintendo. You have to buy them again or PC or whatever.
Yeah.
And now, like, if they're all crowd sharing all that information on the cloud servers, what's the excuse for just not letting that shit be everywhere?
Yeah.
Other than because developers would have a piss fit if you start giving away their microtransactions. But, you know, that's my biggest question about it is, will it affect cross-platform purchases?
Who knows? The other part of the agreement is something with semiconductors, which
I don't understand
either. So I know Jacob was talking about.
He was very passionate in his inebriated state.
Yes, which we haven't even gotten to yet, hilariously enough. Yay for recording out of order.
Yeah.
But he was saying that he thinks this might be something where Microsoft is preparing for the era where there are no more branded consoles and everything is just cloud gaming, which might make sense, but that's something probably years away.
I don't know that it would necessarily be an instance of there's no branded consoles. I like to think of it that Microsoft is playing the long game like Nintendo did, and they're just getting themselves in every little crack and crevice where they can, so that no matter what takes off, they've already got their finger dipped in it.
Yeah.
You know, and then I then go, wow, we're already there. You don't need to set up your own cloud-based servers. We can help you do that. We're here. Just go ahead and lay it on us. And I mean, that's incredibly tempting, you know, whenever it's a case of, shell out billions of dollars to build my own cloud service or just use an existing one that everybody's already familiar with. It's not a bad idea.
Very true. But yeah, I figure we'll talk about that when more information is known about it.
Yeah.
We don't even know if this is going to affect anything between Xbox and PlayStation. This is something between Microsoft and Sony. Because the release
didn't mention anything at all.
I know.
About Xbox and PlayStation. So I think any information about that would at best be next year's E3.
Yeah.
We have no hope for any of that information coming to light now.
Yeah, I think this is a partnership more on the technological side of things instead of the video gaming specific side of things, but
it'll affect gaming, but it could either be small scale or large scale. It's just not something we have the means to know. My crystal ball's in the shop is what I'm trying to say.
Well, did you have any news?
No, that was it. I've been stupid busy this week. I haven't got to keep up with anything. Oh, the Division raid dropped today. Don't ask me anything about it because I haven't had time to do it.
Okay.
But people were pissed off basically because Ubisoft said that all activities on the Division would have matchmaking intact and enabled. And the raid launched today with no matchmaking.
Oh, no.
Yikes.
Oh, no.
To add insult to injury, you need 8 people for the raid. Geez. And a lot of people are scrambling. You have to have 8 people with a gear score of 490 or higher. You can't even start it unless you have the gear score requirement.
And I'm not even max level in the game, let alone gear score.
I've already been informed that my goal this week is to get just a shit ton of people raid ready. Whoever beats the raid first will be immortalized in the game. Not me. Not going to be me. I haven't even launched the Division after it updated today. I just had too much other shit to do.
I'm going to guess someone already beat it. If the raid has been out for more than a few hours, someone has got to have beaten it already.
Yeah, I know that the last I saw was, and to be honest, I haven't been like stalking it and paying attention to all the news on it because I knew I wouldn't be able to do anything till this weekend anyway. Especially tomorrow's number 2's birthday. We're recording this on Thursday, so Friday is number 2's birthday.
Happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to her.
And so I know I'm not going to have time tomorrow to do any of that shit. I know I'm stuck until Saturday at the earliest.
No.
But I also lost my train of thought. I forgot what I was going for there.
Being immortalized in the game.
Yeah, that was never going to happen for me.
No.
But no, it's an interesting concept. Oh, yeah, I was saying they took the servers down at 3:30 a.m. Eastern time. And it was a 3-hour maintenance window to get the game ready for the raid. So I'm assuming it's been approximately 12 hours minimum since it went live. Somebody tweet it.
Oh, yeah.
Probably easily. Probably 10 times over.
Probably.
Because people are assholes.
All right, then. Are you ready to start the reviews, then?
I'm ready. Let's go.
First game to talk about tonight is not a game, but it's actually a gaming headset. The SteelSeries Arctis 3 gaming headset, created by SteelSeries and available for $69.99, features Windows Sonic surround sound on PC and Xbox One. The best headset for everywhere you game, designed for everywhere you game with superior sound, comfort, and style on all gaming platforms, including PC, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, VR, and mobile via detachable 3.5mm cables. Checking this one out, we're bringing in Jacob Garner. How are you doing?
Sorry, that... that description was a lot shorter than I thought it would be.
I was joking.
I couldn't. All right. I'm doing good. I've had a little bit to drink. And by little, I mean a lot.
Oh, God.
I will behave. I swear.
Nobody told me this was a special episode.
It's a very special episode. We're all going to learn a life lesson.
It's always special when Jacob's here.
Well, that's true. Right, but I was thinking more of like the caffeine pills episode of like Saved by the Bell. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
God. I remember that episode.
Yeah, I as much as I hate like Saved by the Bell, like I fucking hate Screech so much. but that show had a special place in my heart because I would watch it when I was above the influence. And yeah, I don't know. It was just my go-to show, but I've yet to see the ending of it when they're like rushing to Vegas to get married.
Really?
Yeah, because what happened is that like I came home from work when we used to work at that grocery store, so I got messed up, and I'm sitting there watching it, and you know they're like, oh, we're gonna go to Vegas, and like they're gonna go by like plane or something like that. And they're like, oh, the guys are gonna take like the car ride, blah 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 blah, and so they get picked up by like the East Bumblefuck sheriff, and I like. It stressed me out so much, even though like I'm completely like blitzed. I'm like completely gone. Of course they're gonna get married. Of course it's Saved by the Bell. Like nobody actually, suffers any real consequences. I was so stressed out by I had to turn off the TV and go to bed. And so I've yet to actually see the ending of Saved by the Bell. And that is how I saved Christmas.
Fantastic. And all of that was said on the SteelSeries Arctis 3 gaming headset.
It is, which, by the way, I told Joe before we were going to do this, I was like, what better way to promote this headset? Because, I mean, everyone knows how crappy my call quality is.
Yep.
When doing this, what better way to promote it than to actually do the review while wearing the headset? And honestly, I can hear everybody. I don't hear any like popping noise or any of that kind of stuff, like, or echo when Cole's on, because, Cole always messes up our three-way calls.
You lying bitch.
I don't know what you're talking about. I only hear it when you're on the phone, so it must be your fault, Cole.
It's because you clog up the call with rice.
It's true. And then I throw it at you.
Yeah.
Which,
y'all,
by the way,
crazy.
For those of you who are not familiar with certain episodes of the show, Cole and I used to fight a lot when we were playing Overcooked, which, if you haven't played, you should. It's on sale right now.
He threw rice at me.
Yeah, well.
A lot.
You weren't doing what you're supposed to be doing in the kitchen.
You threw rice directly into the pot.
Is not a sexist statement, by the way. It is game related. I'd like to put that out there for everybody. Like,
if you had to clarify, it wasn't something you should have said.
No, because I realize that it does sound wrong. However, if you're not familiar with Overcooked, it's set in the kitchen. And so, whatever.
I'm just digging that hole deeper and deeper. Like, we can hear
I'm
it.
Just going to keep, so I am just gonna keep drinking.
You know what you should do, Jacob?
Talk about the headset?
Goddamn right you should talk about fucking headset.
I wish I could, but Cole keeps throwing rice at me.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, so, it's, it is a headset, like, the earphones cover your entire ears. There's an adjustable strap for people, like, for those of us who have big heads. It's pretty comfortable. I like how it actually fits around my ears pretty well, and... the sound quality is pretty good. I've played a bunch of different games with it. I've played Doom. We played Crackdown 3 last night. I've played Super Mega Baseball 2 with it. All of it sounds great. The ambient noise for Doom was fantastic. I actually jumped at one point.
Nice.
I wasn't expecting a certain sound.
Was it a fart? Just ignore it.
What's up?
Nothing. Never mind. Go ahead.
And then we, And then, of course, like, we're listening to me talking over it. You could hear me pretty well. There was some static when we were playing Crackdown, but I think that was actually Crackdown's fault, not this, because obviously it's not happening right now.
I used the headset as well for a couple of days before you were able to come pick it up, and I didn't run into any issues with static, so either that was something on your end, or who knows what.
I was going to say, I think it was just Crackdown, because I didn't experience it with any of the other games that I played. So I've used it for that. I work in a call center environment. I do IT work. I actually brought this in the other day and plugged it into my laptop at work. It works heck of a lot better than the ones that they supply us with. I'm not going to keep bringing it into work because I don't want this to get ruined, and they're not going to reimburse me for this. So, you know, I'm going to protect it like my precious.
Protect it like your virginity.
I've got kids, so.
But it took you how long?
That is none of your business. Joe, you know me. I don't kiss and tell.
So what anyway. What kind of
person do you take me for?
A horrible one.
Rude. Fair enough.
So what's the age gap between your kids? How old are they again?
4.5 and 1.5.
Okay, so what is that, 3 years?
Shut up. Shut the fuck up. It
took them 3 years between 1 and 2. I'm not grieving you, but you just said you don't kiss and tell, and so then I just figured it out because you kissed and told.
So at least Cole surmised that I've had sex at least twice. That's fair.
Proud of you.
Steel Series is going to hear this review, and they're going to be like, why did we agree to send them a headset?
You know, I do actually have one legit question about the headset. Mm. Because you mentioned that it was adjustable strap for people with big heads. But I'm curious if it can go down smaller, and if so, how small? Because gaming headsets are made for dudes.
You can adjust it even farther. It's pretty well done. It seems like it fits all kinds of heads. My wife also used it so she could watch Game of Thrones while I was busy doing other stuff around the house. You know what it was? I was filming the review, or I was recording the review for Lovecraft for last episode.
Little behind the scenes look at the show, huh?
Because, you know, our listeners are so interested into that. She was actually watching Game of Thrones, and she was just like, that was perfect. They're really, like, it's a really well-made headset. I was really surprised by it.
Yeah, it's well-made, it's comfortable, it sounds great when I was playing with
it. The comfort's a huge factor on it. I never had a point where I was just like, oh, I need to take this off. Like, you know, it's hurting my ears or anything like that. That never happened with it. The setup's incredibly easy. You just plug the wire into your Xbox controller. Now, granted, it did take me a little bit of finagling to figure it out, but honestly, I've never had a headset like this. So, they don't really provide instructions. And granted, they probably don't need to.
It's pretty easy to figure out. You plug the one end into the headset and the other end into the controller, and boom.
Well, it works. Well, true. However, I was having a hard time hearing things at first. And then I realized it's because there's settings on the Xbox for headsets, which I didn't. Well, I've never had to use it, so I didn't know. Yeah. As a suggestion for them, because I know that they do have like an FAQ section. They might want to have that. It's just like, oh, like the headsets don't seem to be working that well. Well, dummy, make sure that you've actually checked your video game console as well for your, you know, for your headset settings on there. Because it definitely wasn't the fault of this. Another thing that I do like about this is that there is a button on the back of the left side that mutes the mic automatically. Which, you know, it's pretty helpful because, you know, as I've been dealing with this cough for like 5 months, and I've actually, you know, turned it off during this interview. You guys didn't hear it. Like, there was no like shrill, like, oh God, the mic's off, or like something's wrong with his mic, you know, it just cut it and it works. Honestly, it works pretty well. It's fairly intuitive once you get used to it. So I really like it. I'd recommend it. Joe, what's the price on this thing?
It runs $69.99. So what are your thoughts for $70?
Totally worth it. Like, honestly, like, I mean, granted, it's a dream to like all the other ones I've had before, but I mean, between the great sound quality, the great mic quality, the comfort on it, and just the ease, like the ease of use. Oh, another nifty feature is that you can actually snake the microphone back up into the head, into the left headphone side, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, puts away for easy storage.
Yeah, so I mean, if you don't want to, like, you know, if you just want to listen to stuff, you can use them for that too. So yeah,
good stuff.
Yep.
I am jealous that you are getting to keep the headset because I really enjoyed it. And Cole, I well, know when you and I were talking, when I still had the headset, you told me that compared to my $200 Turtle Beach headset, the quality was significantly better with the SteelSeries.
Oh yeah. It was definitely a more, what's the word I'm looking for? The better? Other ones, well, yeah, the other ones had like, kind of a pseudo bass added to them that your voice just doesn't have. You have a deep voice, but it was like, yeah, it almost sounds fake when it was added on with the Turtle Beach. But when you swapped over to the SteelSeries mic, it was a lot clearer. It sounded crisper. It wasn't as tinny. It didn't have that fake bass added to it.
So you're saying that Turtle Beach is aimed at, you know, the 14-year-olds who frag you on Call of Duty?
Well, you know, the interesting thing
your
about
mom's
that
a whore.
With microphones are a tough thing to take into consideration when it comes to gaming headsets, because so often the headsets are focused on the sound that the owner is going to receive out of them, and they don't really put a lot of effort into making sure that the mic is clear.
Yeah.
Even though they should. I can't tell you how many headsets I've bought that I've been like, these sound fucking amazing. As soon as like, you sound like ass.
Yeah, I'm honestly really impressed and surprised with these. And I've got it plugged into my iPhone right now. This is the best quality you guys have heard me on the show. So I'm just going to keep using these to record the show with.
Hey, works for me. It sounds good. There's no echo. It's clear. Well, it's crisp.
The echo's Cole's fault.
Shut the fuck up. Goddamn kids bickering on my show.
Throwing rice at each other.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear that you enjoyed the headset. I know after playing with the Arctis 3 for a little bit, my eyes are on the 9X, which is the wireless Xbox headset that SteelSeries put out that runs $200. I'm going to save up and I'm going to get me one of them.
Maybe they'll send us one.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they'll be like, oh wow, those SML guys are, you know, they really enjoyed it. And you know, they gave a great review. We'll send them the next one up.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't mind supporting them given how good the quality is, which
that's fair too. Yeah. Cause this is a really
some motorcycle drives by my house and I'm sure the mic is picking that up.
I did hear it. Yes.
Yep.
Good Lord.
Although I keep having herd. To mute because my cat won't shut the fuck up.
Oh man. Well, Jacob, always good having you on here talking about things. Do you have any final thoughts before Cole and I move on with the rest of the show?
My drink's almost done. That's unfortunate.
Next game to talk about is called Sniper Elite V2 Remastered, developed and published by Rebellion. Released May 14th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and Steam for $34.99. In the dark days of the end of World War II amidst the ruins of Berlin, one bullet can change history. Elite sniper Carl Fairburn returns to the front line in this remaster of the award-winning stealth action experience, packed with new features, contemporary visuals, and definitive content. Cole, tell us about it.
So, Sniper Elite is a series that fills the void for people who like shooters but like to be slow. You're not going to run and gun this game, and no. You shouldn't. You need to find a nice little building, lay your ass down, hold your breath, and take somebody's head off. One of the glorious things about this game is that all the Sniper Elite games do it, and this one is no different, although now it's in beautiful 4K HDR remastered glory, is that when you shoot an enemy, if you get a particularly good shot on, say, their head or an organ, it will do an X-ray shot. And so basically the camera follows the bullet, you get an X-ray cutaway, and you can see the skeletons and the organs of the enemy, and you get to see the bullet go in, you get to see shit go pow, and you get to see the bullet casing come out. It's fucking beautiful.
Dark Nika says you're forgetting the nuts.
I am not forgetting the nuts, because the nuts are the best ones to shoot at. The kidneys are a close second. That is a satisfying pop when you catch those kidneys. But the nuts, it's just so good to get a nut shot. And the game just straight up rewards you for it. It's like, you shot them in the nuts, watch them.
You get extra points.
Oh, it's so good.
And those, you know, X-ray shots in 4K.
They're gory, and there's just blood splatter, and you just see bits of organs and bullet casings, and it's all slow motion. Man. And
there's a lot of detail, too. I know on the X version, or playing on the X, in the options, there's a selection you could go between performance and resolution.
Yeah.
And just changing it in the menu adjusts it on the fly, and you can see the difference visually. Uh-huh. I couldn't play it in performance mode because it just looked blurry. It looks so crisp and clear.
It looks blurry, but I don't have the Xbox One X to compare it to, so I miss out on that, and I kind of just like, I remember playing Sniper Elite 2 in its original state.
Yeah.
And so in my head, that's what it still looks like, and I'm playing this remaster, and I'm just like, oh, look at the nut shot, though. Because it's that fucking good.
I just wanted to take a second and mention that, like, the 4K, it is noticeable. It is definitely noticeable on this one. It looks so crisp and clear.
I did look up some comparisons. And it, even as far, like, I do have HDR, and I can tell the difference with the HDR. But the comparison videos for the 4K, it does look incredible. I will say, though, that Sniper Elite 2 is a 7-year-old game.
Yeah.
And it was made during a gaming generation where we couldn't have bright colors. And everything is army green, brown, light brown, darker brown, light gray, darker gray, mid-tone gray, and flesh.
Yeah, that was a special time in gaming where there were no colors.
I mean, we had damn good looking graphics, but you had to balance it out. You either had good graphics and a bleak color palette, or you had a good color palette and squares. So, you know, concessions were made. And given that this is a remaster, yeah, there's a lot of effort that's gone into, you know, making these shadows pop and the enhanced lighting and all that's all well and good. But that color palette is just what it is. They didn't go in and add like neon lights anywhere because it wouldn't have made sense for it. So it can be a little difficult because of that muted color palette to see the enemies. And that was probably my biggest complaint, because sometimes you just walk right up on the motherfuckers and be like, oh, hi, I guess I'll pistol you. 360 no scope for the win, because I just didn't know you were fucking there. Oops.
Oh, boy.
Thankfully, you can put it on Pussy Crab Baby mode, also known as Cadet. And it's very forgiving about you being a dumbass that walks up on enemies.
Yeah, the AI on Cadet is not the smartest, but again,
they put up with a lot of dumb fucks.
It's because you're playing on Cadet.
Yeah. There are 4 difficulty modes. I'm not brave enough to go up above marksman. I've played 2, 3, and 4, and I just know that I have a limit in what I can do in Sniper Elite. And I like to fancy myself as being pretty good. It's just that there are some mechanics that make the game harder, even when you're playing it on easier modes. Like, there are times when you've got to mask your shots with audio that's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in easy, that's like, I don't know, it's a million times easier. Once you up the difficulty and you're trying to mask your shots, I just get into full-fledged panic mode and I can't do it anymore. I cannot time that shit to save my life, and then everybody rushes me and I'm a dead duck. And that's just bad. You can't save the world from Nazis if you're dead in the corner because you couldn't mask your shot. There are online modes for this. You can play the campaign in co-op. We did that. We did that on easy mode because we're bitches. You're not good at shooters, and I can only cover so much.
Yeah. Hey, I did my best. I had a couple of good shots.
There were a couple times where you had shots that were worth more than me, and I was impressed. Good luck finding all those gold bars.
Oh yeah, there's gold bars and wine bottles in every level, and they are, oh my lord, impossible to find.
I feel like they're easier to spot because of the remaster. I feel bad for anybody that did that back in the original days, because goddamn, all that shit would have blent together. But at least it's a little easier now that you can actually tell the difference between a gold bar and a table. The wine bottles, though, we didn't find any of those fucking wine bottles. There are multiplayer modes. We played Overwatch. You had a pretty valid complaint, and I agreed with you on it, was that it's not very good at telling you what your objective actually is in the multiplayer missions.
Oh, yeah. There were so many times where I'm just aimlessly running around, because one person in Overwatch is a spotter, and they get to run around the area and, you know, tag people and get in combat and whatever else. And the other person is a sniper up on a rooftop.
Yeah.
And there were times where, like, objectives just wouldn't begin until I would run to a certain area. And it didn't really, I don't know, help matters.
Yeah.
When we didn't know what we had to do.
Yeah, there were, I don't even know what you were having to do when you got to the objective areas. I didn't know if there was a prompt or if people just started running out at you. Were you standing there like a fool hoping I shot them?
Oh, awesome. Prime dropped 10 biddies.
Drop it, bits!
Thank you, Prime.
Thank you. Yay.
Anyway.
But I couldn't even tell what was going on for you in order to be prepared. Like, there was no indication of enemies are going to come from this way, enemies are going to come from that way. It was just good luck.
Yeah.
And it was like we bombed miserably the first time. You bled out and I never even saw what killed you. The second time we did better. We lasted, I think it was 15 minutes. And we actually, you managed to trigger a couple of the objectives, whatever you had to do. And I killed a fuck ton of people, so I was happy.
I killed like 2. That's because you were sniping everyone from a rooftop.
Yeah, I mean, you had what, a pistol? Maybe the SMG?
Yeah.
So, I only had the sniper. I didn't have the pistol or the SMG. I was just limited to the sniper. One thing that was nice, though, was when you would mark enemies, I would get a little red V triangle over their head, and it made it a lot easier to, like, prioritize who I should be shooting.
Yeah.
But eventually, there were just so many goddamn people that my goal became, shoot whoever's closest to Joe. Joe's gonna die. Blow up as many people at once. Because you could shoot the vehicle's gas caps and blow them up. Not at all realistic, but it's fine. It made for a good show.
Yeah, it did.
And you feel incredibly accomplished when you pop one of those tiny-ass gas caps from across the map. You're just like, man, I'm the fucking best, yo.
That's a good way to describe this game, is just satisfying when you
it get, is.
When you get that shot that just mm-hmm. you get the bullet time, the slow-mo, you see the bullet caressing through the air or careening through the air, not caressing. They caress the the gentle caress of the skull and the breakage and the splatters. It is so satisfying when you get a slow-mo shot.
Yeah. It really is. I think that was probably what I was most excited about when playing it. Like, the story's there. I couldn't tell you two bits about the story. I have to be perfectly honest, because it would come up and it would be giving me details, and I'd just press A and go, I just want to shoot somebody.
I just want to shoot some heads.
Yeah. The big heads and little ones. Well, I'm here for it all. And I was just, I had one goal.
Shooting balls.
Mm-hmm.
Busting nuts. All right. Well, then $35 on Sniper Elite V2 Remastered. What do you think of it?
I gave it a buy it. I had a lot of fun. It's incredibly satisfying. It looks a lot better. I will say, I think if you are not familiar with Sniper Elite, this is not where you want to get your feet wet with it. This is definitely more for people who are already familiar with the series and who have a little bit of nostalgia tied to it. If you're just like, hey, I want to start playing Sniper Elite and I want to just know what the series is, then go for four.
Go for four. All right.
Because as far as like story and everything goes, that blows this out of the water. But this is a 7-year-old game. It's a remaster, so it's not meant to be for people who are new to the series.
Yeah.
So
I agree with you. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a good price on the game. I know some people would probably charge $50 for a remaster like this, so mm-hmm. getting it at $35 is pretty nice. It looked great. It played great. This is something I want to, over the weekend, complete the campaign with you.
So yeah,
hopefully we'll be
good.
Able to do that.
I'm down for that.
Awesome. Well, next game to talk about is called Party Arcade, developed and published by Farsight Studios, released May 8th on Xbox One for $19.99. Popular party game set in an immersive arcade environment with support for 1 to 4 players, local or online. Collect over 60 pieces of unique game equipment and gear to use during matches and claim your place on the global leaderboards by getting a high score. Cole, tell us about Party Arcade.
Man, arcade collections are kind of a tough sell. Like, you either love every game in it or you hate 30% of it.
It happens in compilations.
I mean, it's just kind of the nature of it, right? And this one is really not any different. It does have that, it's a compilation curse. And so either you're like, fuck yeah, I love air hockey and ping pong, and there's beer pong, but they call it cup pong.
I'm sure having beer in the title would have increased the
age rating on it. Yeah. Although that doesn't change what it fucking is. There are red solo cups and you are throwing a ping pong ball in them. You know, there's air hockey, cornhole, darts.
Fuck yeah, cornhole.
And I've never actually played cornhole in real life.
Really?
So this was my first experience actually playing cornhole, and David is mad at me because I beat the shit out of him. Because I'll tell you a trick with 90% of the games in this compilation. Once you figure out how far, like a number for how much power to give whatever you're throwing or whatever you're aiming at, once you get in like a routine where you know that number is going to hit, you just start spamming it.
Yeah.
And so then it becomes a little tedious.
Yeah, I know in the basketball game, if you have a straight shot and you go anywhere between like 55 to 70% yep. power, you're going to get it in every time.
Every time.
I got like a 1-0 something score on that one.
Skee-Ball was another one where like you could just figure out once you got the path right and you knew the number where you were going to hit it at 100, you could just sit and spam it and do it over and over and over. And David won't play it with me anymore.
I couldn't figure out the sweet spot for Skee-Ball. I tried. I couldn't figure that one out.
I want to say it was like 62 or some kind of weird shit like that. Like, if I sat down and loaded it up, I could do it immediately. That's the terrible part. Like, I was walking out of the game with like 500-600 points, and you Jesus. Only have 5 balls anyway, and it's like,
I thought you had 10.
Is it 10? Maybe. I'm pretty sure it's 10. I was killing it. I would only miss like one or two out of the whole round. And I was like, well. But David did get me on the basketball game. He caught on to the number on that one far quicker. I did figure it out eventually, but he figured it out faster and had me on that one. I was like, you son of a bitch. So then I proceeded to just beat the pants off of him. There was one other game he beat me at first. Pool. He beat me the first pool game that we played.
Mm-hmm.
It's 9-ball pool. And he got me first on that one. And then, like, I was like, no, we're going to do that again. And then I went in and I dropped them all on my second turn. And he's like, I hate you.
I won 9-ball. I actually got the achievement for winning on the break. I just did full power on 9-ball. Uh-huh. I didn't move the ball anywhere. I didn't change the position of anything. I just went full power and the 9-ball went in. And I did it 3 times in a row.
Damn.
So I don't know if that's one of those cheat numbers where if you just full power it, it'll go in, yeah. Or if I was just super lucky. But if you're looking for help on 9-ball, just full power and keep trying till it works.
I think pool would be the one I'd be most apt to get him to play with me again. But most of the other ones, darts, he had me at darts. I had him, but I couldn't hit the 301. And that's because I fucked up and got my numbers like all out of whack because I was basing it on a typical score of 501.
Mm.
And in the game, it's 301. And so I was stuck at 299. And I couldn't get 301 to save myself.
You don't have to get exactly 301.
It would not go past 299.
I got a 475 on darts.
Did you really?
Fucking 475. I got all center bullseyes except for one shot, which was just a normal bullseye.
Were you playing solo?
Yeah.
Oh, that might have been the difference because we were playing multiplayer.
Mm.
And it was in the rule said you had to hit 301 and you had to land on the double ring.
Okay.
And I was like, yikes.
Yeah, that'll do it then.
And that was fucking miserable.
But basically, all these games are there for you to earn tickets and tokens. Mm-hmm. Tokens are used to play a handful of special mini games like the lights off where the little ring of light is going around and you hit stop and you get however many tickets you landed on. Or there's a Plinko style game where you drop it down and you get however many tickets you land in there. And the tickets are used to unlock either challenge mode in games or to unlock different cosmetic changes to the equipment that you use. Like in billiards, you might get a special cue ball, or in darts, you'll get like a golden dart that you can use instead, which leads to my biggest gripe with this game. It takes way too long to earn tickets and tokens in this game.
Yeah, it does. It's definitely trying to pull you into the microtransactions.
Are there microtransactions?
Yeah.
Are there?
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah. That's your biggest gripe. I actually had a secondary gripe, and that would be when you're playing local co-op or local multiplayer. If you have people signed in as additional accounts, it will not let them ready up. So player one has to sign in the additional controllers as guests. And that is the only way. It will let you sign in under your actual gamer tag on a secondary controller, but it won't let you ready up. It won't let you play unless you go down to add a guest.
I think that's a glitch because I ran into the same thing where even as a guest, I was unable to ready up. Mm-hmm. And the way that I got around it, because I don't really have anyone to play with. So yeah. To test out some of the multiplayer stuff, I kind of just played with myself. I quit the game and I made sure that both the accounts were logged in before I started the game. And then I didn't seem to have any problems. So I think it's just an issue. Yeah, we tried that as
well and it didn't go.
I don't know then. There are some issues with the game. Carnage and I, we tried playing a game online and we just could not get it to connect. I don't know if that was a network setting on my end or if it was just a glitch with the servers or what, but we could not get a multiplayer game going online at all.
Yeah, I couldn't either. I tried to. Because where we have the two Xboxes, that's how we were originally going to play.
Yeah.
Was on the two separate Xboxes, and it wouldn't let us do that either.
It's so still fun, though.
It is. It's a lot of fun. Number one is having friends over this weekend, and it's number two's birthday, and I'm pretty sure that they'll be in here playing, you know, pool and skee ball till their hands fall off. But It does have a couple of issues.
Yeah, so that said, $20 on it, what do you think?
$20 is kind of high. It does have a ton of games, but given that there's microtransactions too, and they made it really fucking grindy, like some of the games are walled off behind those tokens. If you don't just grind your ass off or buy them, then you don't get to play those games. And when you've already paid $20...
Yeah,
that's kind of shitty. I'm going to give it a try it because what's there is fun. It could use a little work, though. And fuck those microtransactions.
What are the microtransactions? Because I was in the store and I opened it up. But when I did that, there was nothing, like nothing was active in terms of transactions. So I didn't know if that was there for possible DLC. Oh, you buy tickets?
Yeah. You buy tickets.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
It's like 99 cents for 1,000 or something like that.
That's not horrible, at least. I would rather buy tokens, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I was like, at least make it to where you could either buy the tokens or you could just straight up buy full access to those additional games.
Yeah.
But that's before I knew it had a $20 price tag. At that point, I'm just like, come on now, fuck off. Don't do that.
See, I don't think the $20 price tag is too much. There's a lot of games in there. I think it justifies the content.
Yeah, it's just the bigger issue for me is that there are games that are walled off.
I can even understand that because of the type of games they are in an arcade. I don't know. It made sense to me that you would require tokens to play those specific games.
Yeah.
Because if you could just play like the Plinko one over and over for free, you wouldn't need to earn tickets. You would just play that game over and over. Those are guaranteed easy tickets. So they have to have some kind of way to make you earn being able to play those. I just wish that you got tokens easier. Like I could get a gold score on darts. I 475 and I got, I think, 4 or 5 tokens.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Yeah,
Most of them would only give you a handful of tickets at a time.
Yeah. And then with the tickets, it costs $2,500 to unlock the challenge mode for a game. And again, you earn like 10 in a game.
You're there for a while.
Yeah. It's very grindy, but it is fun. You better make sure whichever
one you do buy is the one you want.
Yeah.
I'm going to let the kids grind it out for me.
Hey, there you go. So. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Undead Horde, developed and published by 10 Tons, released May 15th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $16.99. Become a necromancer and raise the dead. Undead Horde is a necromantic action game with elements from RPG, strategy, and hack and slash. Maraud through the lands of the living, raise their villages, and steal their treasures. Ultimately, you'll take over the whole kingdom of the living. Cole, tell us about Undead Horde.
Have you ever wanted to kill a chicken, raise it from the dead, and then have it attack urns and vases for you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you can.
Yay.
It's so fucking incredible, and there's even an achievement for having 100 dead chickens.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord, that's amazing.
I love those little chickens. It's a little sad that you gotta kill them before you can bring them back from the dead, but once you do, it's totally worth it.
I mean, you don't have to kill them. You could get your army to do it instead.
They just have to die of unfortunate circumstances. Either way.
Anyway, what is the game?
Fine. So this is literally like the bastard love child of a hack and slash RPG. The RPG elements, they're a little more forgiving. It's not hardcore RPG. You'll earn XP as you know, go through the different villages, fuck shit up, kill enemies, bring them back as your undead army of minions, and send them out to kill. It's like if you were the White Walkers in Game of Thrones. You are the Night King.
Yeah.
You just get to, you know, raise your hands up, and everybody you killed just rises up and goes, fuck it, let's go. So you're playing as one of the last remaining necromancers, and he's out for vengeance because the living have locked him away in an urn to try to keep him from necromancing. And that's just not going to fly. You ain't having any of that. You have a top-down perspective. It's not entirely perfectly top-down. There's a little bit of an angle. You can see the necromancer's, like, his face kind of
it's a little isometric.
Yeah. I tend to think of isometric as more of a sharper angle. So this is, like, somewhere in between.
Yeah, top-down isometric.
Yeah, there we go. Let's see how many more words we can fit in there to describe the camera angle.
EX but, plus alpha. HD remix.
You do have the ability as the necromancer to just run around and hack and slash everything. If it's there, you can hit it. But it's far more fun to take out whatever living things are closest to you and raise them up and then just sit back and let them go fuck shit up for you.
It's a lot easier that way, too.
It really is. You can very quickly find yourself surrounded and dead.
Yes.
I will say it's very forgiving if you get fucked up, though. You'll get sent back to, like, the hub world, and you can build you up another army again and go back out and go after it. But it's kind of dull because you've got to, like, trudge all the way back to where you were. And everything you've already killed is dead, and so there's nothing new to, like, discover or raise up on the way there. Although I did have a couple instances where I died, and being forced to walk back gave me an opportunity to find, like, some secrets. That was pretty nifty. Bonus XP and new weapons and stuff is always a good thing.
Yeah, and there is fast travel in the game. It's just not to every location, so yeah. There are times where you're going to have to fast travel and then walk from there to the closest.
Yeah.
From the closest fast travel to where you need to be. So it's not all trudging around.
It's not horribly slow, you know, grogging through anything. It's just sometimes you got to hoof it a little bit.
Yeah.
But even then, like I said, there's secrets. If you just want to take some time on your stroll back to getting fucked up. I will say I did feel like the difficulty spiked a little quickly out of nowhere. I was trudging along the first few levels and just, like, killing everything in my path. And then suddenly I just died and died
and died
and I died some more. And I was like, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. I need more chickens. Yeah, there is a limit to how many dead things you can be dragging around in your horde.
Yeah, there's like a circular gauge in every troop that you pick up has a different value of how much of that gauge they take up.
You can have a lot of chickens.
Yeah, so if you take a hero, he's going to take up a gigantic chunk of your space. If you take a chicken, it's just going to be a tiny little bit because it's a fucking chicken. I enjoyed running with a pack of bears.
Yeah.
That was fun to do.
I think it's really cool the variety that you can have. Like, if you can kill it, you can raise it back up and then it's yours and then just do whatever the fuck you want with it.
Well, they're yours then, but if you want to get it for permanent, like at your hub world, you're able to summon from pretty much any creature in the game. You just have to kill a target number of enemies to be able to summon them. Like bears, you had to kill 8 bears, and now I can summon bears whenever.
It's a agreeable number, too. Yeah. Like, in a lot of games like this, when you have to, like, unlock an upgrade or something like that, you can find yourself grinding for days.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'll be like, oh, kill 1,000 bears, then you can have them for yourself. This one's like, no, you just need 8. 8's good. 8's a good number.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the little peasants in dude is like 30. And they're super. You kill 30 of them in the first damn world. You just sit there and let them keep coming out of the building and smack, smack, smack. And there you go. You're done.
Yeah, it's really reasonable.
So I was really surprised that it was so easy to unlock additional minions that you could summon rather than having to just be like, well, I might eventually get to play with that. I thought it was a really creative concept. I think it's funny, the whole, you know, you got locked in an urn.
Yeah.
A lot of the dialogue is just kind of goofy. It seems like it's something that should be really serious, but it's just not. It takes a lot of it tongue in cheek. I lost my place in my review. God damn it. Oh, the RPG mechanics, when they kick in, you can choose different, like it'll come up when you level up and you have three different upgrade options, and they'll all affect you in different ways. One thing that I liked about it was that it would break down for dummies like me and say, oh, this one gives you the most health, this one gives you the most mana. And it's like, I like you. You're prepared for me to be stupid. Because I can get overwhelmed. Like, in some of those games, they just have all the numbers and they're all the same color and they don't tell you shit. And then every now and then you look out and it might be like, this is green, so it will raise you up. This is red, it will knock you down. And that's about the best you get out of RPG games because they pride themselves on being fucking difficult. This one's like, no, hey, dumbass, this is going to have what you want.
Yeah.
Pick this one. So I could definitely appreciate that, you know, despite its RPG elements, it's still really accessible and just easy to get in there and play.
Yeah. Well, then for $17, what do you think of Undead Horde?
I give this a buy it. This was a sleeper favorite this week. I didn't expect to like it as well as I did, but I was really into it.
Yeah, this was a game where I sat down and I was like, let me play this for, you know, 10-15 minutes, see what it's about, come back to it later on. And then like 4 hours passed.
You're like, ah, shit, where did the rest of the day go?
I just got sucked into this game. If you're a fan of Overlord, the last gen game where you know, command an army of the dead and you're a bad guy. It's very similar to that, but with a lot more action RPG elements to it. You get your hands dirty a lot more in this one, and it just worked really, really well, and I really enjoyed it, so I give it a buy as well.
Nice.
Next game to talk about is called Ascendance, developed and published by One Vision Games, released May 10th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $5.99. Enter the enigmatic world of Ascendance and experience an enchanting and peaceful journey to the sky and beyond. Ascendance is a calming, relaxing, minimalistic first-person 3D platformer. Shape your way with mysterious abilities and rise with the enchanted wind platforms beyond the skies. Cole, tell us about it.
I mean, I would, but that's pretty much everything.
Well, then $6, what do you say?
This is the most chill, relaxing platformer in the history of the world. There are no timers. You don't have to do anything at all quickly. At one point, I was playing and I walked away and I come back. I was like, oh, fuck, right. Nothing bad had happened. There are no enemies. There's just you 3D hopping your ass around this low poly world. And it shifts the more you progress, the more of the world and the more platforms are available to you to climb around on. And basically your goal is get to the top and get the fuck out. Yeah.
It's very similar if you remember the game Refunct that we covered a good while ago.
Yeah.
Very similar to that.
Yeah. Even on Steam, it recommends Refunct as a game. Awesome
Prime
this.
Ask. So it's like Minecraft. No, this is strictly a platformer. There's no crafting. There's no enemies. There's no combat. There's no NPCs. It's literally just you relaxfully platforming at your leisure.
The only thing objective wise beyond get to the top and get out is there are cubes that you can collect. I think there's 16 in each of the levels. And I do actually have a complaint about those cubes.
What is
it? I was trying my damnedest to get every cube in every level. The problem is that when you've collected one of these cubes, they go like, they, they go kind of transparent with like a white subtle outline to kind of ghost where they were. But they also become reflective. And so you can be kind of standing a little far away from it and be like, oh, over there's a collectible and it looks red. And so I don't have it. And you go after it and then you jump over to it. And it's like, no, but you already had this one. Joke's on you.
Fool you.
There's no way to know whatsoever because it's just some kind of weird glitchy quirk where it just reflects and looks like you don't have it, even though you do. So you can backtrack all the way across your goddamn map and set yourself back only to get there and realize that, no, that's one you got when you first started, dumbass.
Yeah. And then you got to climb all your way back, but.
And you're gonna miss your jumps a million and one times. And then you're gonna fall in the water. And then it's gonna start you back at the last checkpoint, which will be on the other side of the map from where you wanted to be. Because why not? So it's amazing because it's the most relaxing platformer in the fucking world. And yet I was so mad at it because I just wanted to get those goddamn cubes and get out. I had the portal up at the top for like an hour and I'm still just bouncing around looking for two cubes. I never found them. I gave up. I'm like, whatever, I'm out. I'll do it again. And then of course you go back and you have to start all the cubes over again. It does not save your progress on the cubes.
Oh man.
So if you are going to make the effort to try to get them all,
Do it in one run.
Don't back the fuck out unless you really hate yourself.
Well, minor gripe aside, $6 for Ascendance. I don't know how you could say no to this game.
Yeah, normally we try to say fuck it, why not, for games that are a little more on the shifty side but are still cheap and fun. And that's not exactly the situation here. It's well made. It works well. It's frustrating. It does have the issue with the cubes, but it is what it sets out to be. I did have one other gripe.
What is
that? That I forgot to mention. There is like an indirect light source in the sky. It's kind of diffused and basically it's like a sun, but it's not a sun. I don't know if it's because of HDR or I'm not sure what was the actual cause for it. Like, I fucked through whatever little settings there were, and I couldn't change anything to change it. But it would, at times, come in behind pillars and would blow out the rest of the screen. Huh. And so it was just so ungodly bright in some of them that you would fail a jump 100 times just because you couldn't see it because of where the light was. So that was, Don't be deceived that because we say it's chill or that it's, a low impact platformer, that it's not difficult in some ways.
Yeah.
They could work with that lighting a little bit and try to diffuse it a little more so that you don't have that kind of blowout from the horizon in some of the camera angles. But I don't know. I'm pretty tempted to say, fuck it, why not? Not because it's bad in any kind of regard. I don't think it had the option, Austin Prime, to turn the gamma down. Or if it did, it didn't help. I don't remember what it was. There were only like two options.
Yeah.
In the options. There's not a lot there.
It's a minimalistic game.
Yeah, it's really bare bones. And that's not in any way a bad thing, but especially at the price point. But it does have some kinks that need ironed out.
Yeah. Anyway, one last game for you to talk about is called Fission Superstar X, developed and published by Turbo Pelvis 3000, which is in the running for one of my favorite company names we've ever had on this show. this one's releasing May 21st on Xbox One for $14.99. Experience a weird, relentless solar tour in this randomly generated space roguelite. Travel from planet X to Earth while fending off endless waves of attackers. What is the payload? A superstar nuclear bomb. What is the mission? To make her famous. Does it make sense? Ask the quote scientist who built that thing. Cole, what the hell is Fission Superstar X?
I don't fucking know.
Me neither.
I mean, I played it. I just don't fucking know what it's doing here. It's part roguelites, part shmup, part bullet hell, part RPG, because you gotta fix up your ship and deliver that goddamn nuclear bomb.
Part management sim.
There's just so much weird shit happening here that it's a little bit of an overload. And it's a little hard to pinpoint what you really need to be doing and when. It wouldn't be so bad, but it ups the difficulty and the learning curve because of the roguelite nature. There's no room for error. When you fuck up, you fucked up. Do it again. Yeah. And so it can... It's just so weird. The bomb's name is Celine. The bomb has a name and it's wrote on the side. Like, I can't get over that. I was trying to find a good way to segue it in, but you can't because it's just such a weird thing to point out. But the bomb's name is Celine. It is a shmup, but it's not quite... It's not as fast-paced and what's a good word here? Perilous as a typical shmup. With, you know, typical shmups, everything comes in from the right side of the screen. Sometimes it fucks you up, comes from the left or the top or the bottom. And that happens here too, but you're not swarmed by a large amount of small enemies. Yeah. There will literally only be one or two enemies on the screen at a time. But it's made difficult by the fact that you only have a couple of weapons on your ship. They can only point so many ways.
Yeah, like a gun on the top of your ship won't be able to hit an enemy on the bottom.
So you have a gun on the bottom. The screen is a blind spot for the gun on the top. And it's the most frustrating thing in the world. It's the learning curve of it makes it a little difficult to be like, oh, this is incredible, because you really just have to trial and error your way through this and learn what weapons will shoot where.
Yeah.
What's a good spot on your ship to put a certain weapon. Like, I discover there's one that's kind of like a radioactive gun that shoots a little, but it's got to be close range. And I learned that it's best on the back of the ship, so in case anything comes up on you. If you put it on the top or the bottom, you weren't hitting shit for 90% of it. And it was the most DPS heavy weapon that you unlock early on. And it's like, well, I know where that's got to go. But do you know how many times I died miserably before I figured out where a good place to put that was?
All the times.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to give legit numbers here.
You want to know something about the game that is incredible, though? The visual style. I am in love with the visuals in this game.
I have found myself in a bit of a pickle when it comes to pixel art games. And I'm just a little oversaturated with them. And yet this one is so well done that it was still really intriguing and it didn't seem to bother me.
Yeah, it's such a unique style to it.
Yeah. It looks really cool. The characters are really cool. There's an instance where when you first start up, you clone your character for the ship. And like, there's this whole like the electricity flashing and everything. And it's just really well done. And that's had to take a shitload of time. Like, I can appreciate that. Yeah. Even as overwhelmed with all the pixel art as I have been lately, I'm like, no, that's good. That's well done. That really is. It's pretty. Are you okay?
Okay.
like I heard a weird crack sound. I was like, are you okay?
Oh, it's my water bottle.
I got worried for a second. But I don't think that I have even managed as many times as I've fucked up and as far as I've gotten with this game. I still think I don't properly understand the upgrade system.
I don't get it either. There were times where I would buy weapons and I would select where I want to put it and it just disappeared. Like, the weapon that was already there is still there, and the weapon I bought is gone. And I don't know what I did wrong.
I was struggling. Like, I figured out how to add more people to the ship, but I can't for the life of me make them do anything of value. Like, the medic just dies every goddamn time. And I'm like, what good are you if you're so squishy? Put some armor on that bitch. If her job is to keep everybody else alive, put some armor on her. I'm struggling so hard. But it does have a serious learning curve. I don't think this isn't going to be the kind of game that you're going to pick up if you want a hardcore bullet hell shmup. Because it doesn't have quite the same array of, like, the enemies aren't attacking in that kind of way. It's interesting in that it's definitely more like of a tactical shmup. You have to really micromanage and think out everything.
Yeah.
It's not going to be for everybody. It's a bit of a niche.
But if it clicks with you, I think you're going to have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. If you can overcome the that difficulty curve, then then you're really going to be in for it. Meanwhile, I'm going to sit here for the next week looking at this going, burp. I pushed a button and somebody died, and that's the best I can do.
Yay.
So, I'm so proud of me.
So, final decision, $15. What do you think of Fission Superstar X?
I think it's worth it, but I think that the difficulty is going to put a lot of people off on it, and that it could do a little better job of tutorials and explaining. So because of that, I do give it just a try.
Makes sense. I agree. I think it's such a niche game that's going to be such a weird experience to pick up and play. I do wish there was a little more hand-holding, as you said, mm-hmm. to kind of explain stuff to you and what the fuck
Talk
you're
to
doing
me
in
like
the game.
I'm dumb.
Yeah.
Because I am.
Explain it to me a little bit more. But the game is gorgeous. I love the visual style. It's unique. It's fun. And I think it's worth trying.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Well, that is it for you, Cole. I have two more reviews to do with someone else, but I'm going to let you get going. And
fuck that person.
No, they're good peoples.
I mean, fuck them anyway.
I mean, he's married.
Well, then he's already getting fucked, so it's fine.
Cole, do you have any final words before we let you go?
No, we could have just already ended it on me saying he's already getting fucked. That would have been the perfect spot.
All right, and we are going to end the show with our good friend Royal Sefton. How are you doing?
I'm at the end of the show.
You are. You're closing it out.
Yeah.
We had a whole bunch of other stuff happen. We had like news and some other reviews, and Jacob Garner was on doing his headset review, and he better have done it because I'm explicitly mentioning him in this recording because I did this the last episode and he couldn't do the review on time. And I had to do a whole bunch of editing, so I'm explicitly calling him out that he did a headset review on this episode earlier on.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing it. I bet it was awesome.
I'm sure it was, because the headset's pretty goddamn cool. Yeah, if it happens.
If it happens.
Anyway, you're here to talk about two games. Are you excited?
Yeah, doubleheader, baby.
All right, let's start off with Death and Request, developed by Compile Heart, published by Idea Factory International, released May 16th on Steam for $49.99. Death and Request takes the classic turn-based RPG and flips it upside down. Switch between the RPG action of the game world and the visual novel segments of the real world. In the realm of game development, it may seem all fun and games until the lines between fantasy and reality begin to blur. Royal, tell us about this one.
Funky. Very, very, very funky. So I've not played any of their games before. So I am new to the whole JRPG visual novel thing that they apparently do a lot of. So I'm coming to this with some fairly fresh eyes. I mean, I've played JRPGs before and I'm aware of the existence of visual novels, but haven't really played any. So it was kind of an interesting little trip. And it's funky, not just from that perspective, but from the way that it's all put together. There's a lot of emphasis on glitch. So though it's not clear initially, as you get into the game, it becomes evident that you are stuck in a virtual reality MMO. Like, you, the protagonist, are in a virtual world.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'll liken it to like Tron. Okay, that's an easy one. So you're in this world. You don't know how you got there. You don't really have any memory of your real life existence because you apparently have a meat space counterpart, shall you say, the person that you actually were. I love that term, meat space.
I've never heard that one before. I like that.
Yeah. Touch of something new today. So anyway, you went missing in meat space about a year ago. And you're freaking people out because you're showing up in the game, playing it, and it's in a bad alpha with corruption taking over the game. So it's like there's an emphasis on the game being intentionally kind of broken looking. And in some ways it works. In some ways it almost feels like they're kind of making excuses for the way the game feels. I don't feel like it's ever...
Little column B.
Yeah, or it's just like you're in this palace and the rooms are all very empty. It's not necessarily an ugly game. It's just there's so little decoration going on in some areas. You're thinking, okay, so did they rush this and then they use the story to cover that? Or, well, to their credit, there are other locales that are more detailed. So I don't think it's necessarily that, but it just kind of has a sort of jankiness about it. And I think it's kind of creative and it's kind of clever that way. But you interact with the real world, so it's like one of your programmer coworker buddies is able to communicate with you between the two worlds and is able to alter the code as you play. So it's a very dynamic world, to say the least. And you pick up additional characters, so you assemble a sort of party. And though it's turn based, it's kind of the combat's kind of a unique sort of situation. You can position and rotate to whatever angle you want, albeit on a flat plane. Kind of reminds me of that game we previewed, Bivantule. But you can string together combos of different behaviors and unlock new ones based on the combos you use, whether they're melee attacks, long-range attacks, restoration spells of some kind. And then occasionally your glitch level gets so extreme that you kind of go into this glitch mode and you lose most of your clothing and you do crazy shit. I guess that's kind of a staple of the visual novel, genre is, you know, you lose some clothing at some point. I don't know. Like I said, I'm new to this, but I kind of got that feeling. That's just sort of the general tenor of the act. But when you're in this glitch mode, you're able to do a lot more damage and you can unlock a special ability or two. And so, I mean, there's an element of strategy to it. Plus, these enemies you fight, they're like digital corruption. So they have the sort of like perimeter around the area you're fighting and sort of circular. And if you knock them into the perimeter, you can pretty much play pinball with them and knock them into other enemies or bounce them off a wall. So, I mean, there's an element of strategy to the game that I think is pretty cool. Makes for a fun turn-based battle. Now, my wish is that the game played and felt more like that. And this may just be my ineptitude with the visual novel format, or it may just be my inability to really get into the story, but I felt like I was just skipping a lot of the dialogue so I could get to the next fight. It's just full disclosure, that's how I felt about the game, you know? And it's not to say that the story was that disinteresting, but it was a bit of a conversational plot sometimes.
Sometimes it's just too much and you want to get to the action.
Yes. And to their credit, I was playing with an Xbox pad. And with the right or left shoulder button, you can actually do a quick skip of all the dialogue if you want.
Well, that's cool.
Which is nice. I mean, especially if you were doing a replay, because there are multiple endings and you may want to go back and try for some other stuff as you go through.
By the way, I love that you were playing with an Xbox controller, but the game is not on Xbox.
Factory. It's on PC. It's on Steam.
Yeah, but PC, you should really, or Idea Factory, you should really consider maybe some Xbox support.
And you know what? They did a great job of mapping everything by default. It works perfectly on the Xbox pad.
See, it would play great on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That's a thought. So anyway. Anyway.
Sorry, Robbie. Anyway.
Anyway. It's a cool game. I mean, it's an interesting introduction for me to a type of game I haven't really played. Not in the way that it's presented here with the visual novel format. And I do take umbrage with some of the writing or some of the details. It's like you know, there's a big disclaimer about the depictions of graphic violence in the game. Well, most of the game, you're fighting these digital critters that, you know, they don't bleed really. They look menacing, but it's PG type stuff. I mean, it's not that bad. But you begin with a very lurid death sequence, and most of the grossness is in, you know, narration and writing, describing in great detail just how your character dies. And it just feels really dissonant with the rest of the game. I don't get the point of it. Maybe it's to kind of contrast between your protagonist being a flesh and blood person versus all these rather inconsequential deaths of these corrupted beings and bugs that aren't really, you know, people. Maybe that's what they're driving at. I don't know. It just felt kind of out of place and very superfluous. Or maybe I'm just getting old and I don't care about that sort of thing anymore. But
maybe,
it didn't really set with the tone of the game. Otherwise, it felt just kind of out of place. But that said, I mean, otherwise it's interesting. I can see it being engaging if visual novels are your thing. And I would say that the story is interesting enough. I mean, you're picking up other characters, and there's some confusion about whether they are actually the characters they were originally written a year ago when the game was put on hold. The game within a game, it's very meta, you know. So it's like, well, wait a minute, the assets shifted, or maybe the corruption changed this character or something. kind of interesting stuff, I guess. But for me, yeah, the battle sequences, the turn-based combat is the most interesting part, bar none.
Awesome. So overall package, $50 on this. What do you say?
Yeah, I'd have a hard time spending $50 on it myself. But there is a lot of material in here. I mean, it's going to be a good 40, 50 hours of gameplay at least. So if this is your cup of tea, it's leaning closer to buy it. I mean, games like, I understand Neptunia is one of their big ones. If you already know what to expect with one of those, I have a feeling this is probably going to be a buy it for you. For somebody who's a little more of a normie like me, it's kind of a try it title.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Sounds cool though. Would be pretty awesome on Xbox One.
hint.
I'll keep hinting until something happens. But
you can't tell me it doesn't work there, you know. Works on PC with an Xbox One pad.
Yeah,
you're
seriously.
Halfway there.
Seriously, we're so close. All it takes is like a flip a switch and it works, right?
That's how
it
right. Works. Just build a different Unity or whatever.
Yeah.
press the Xbox button. Published to Xbox Live.
Convert to Xbox button. Done.
Would that it were that simple, really.
Processing. Anyway, one final game to talk about tonight is called Swag and Sorcery, developed by Lazy Bear Games and Ouroboros Games, published by Tiny Build, released May 9th on Steam for $12.99. Manage your own fantasy village, create and equip your heroes, and send them to collect swag in Swag and Sorcery, a new streamlined RPG from the creators of Punch Club and Graveyard Keeper. Royal, tell us about Swag and Sorcery.
Swag. I like it, you know. Full disclosure, it is at least as grindy as you think it will be. It is a grind game. The question is, do you
Punch
mind?
Club was a grindy game too. So
yeah, the question is, do you mind if it's a grindy game? I for one do not. I think it's a blast. And part of the reason is that, you know, not only is it kind of a good looking package. I mean, the pixel art's fun. There's a good sense of humor that sort of pervades the whole game. Little innovations here and there, but it's not complicated. I mean, it's a fairly simple game too, but you can obviously do good and bad things that will determine just how effective you are when you go out questing. What you do is you, recruit heroes. You equip them, you level them up, you heal them at the church, you chill their asses out at the sauna or spa or whatever. You have to improve their mood in addition to just healing. You can't just patch them back up and send them out there. You also have to make sure that they're feeling they're engaged in self-care. Okay, I'll go with that. And then you send them out on a quest. And as you complete one locale, new ones open up that have certain support for certain heroes of a certain level, and you build up your own resource buildings, whether it's a smithy or there's a laboratory for potions and magical items. And as you build up all these things, of course, you know, you, that's the grind, right? I mean, you go out there, you kill the monsters, you get the resources, but you're not actively doing that. You send them out and they play themselves. So in that sense, right. Yeah, in that sense, you can make the complaint, well, the game plays itself. Well, yeah, you know, the most fascinating part of it isn't whether you, you know, hit the enemy, drink a potion, or chop down some wood. They do that for you. You, it's a resource manager. I mean, you choose how to use them and where to use them. And, you know, go ahead.
I was going
to
say, this sounds like a game that's perfect for the people who love RPGs and all the micromanaging, but don't like the actual battling.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment because, yeah, how you build them out and what equipment you give them, and you make your own equipment, and it's not always one the same, you know. A helmet isn't a helmet isn't a helmet. You can build two of the same helmet and one of them will turn out better than the other because your character gets better at manufacturing these things, or, you know, the hero you assigned to the job will get better at manufacturing these things, and they may make one that actually has better buffs on it. So, I mean, there's some fun to be had there. It's not a really monotonous grind in that sense. And how you load them out and where you put them in the party, because it kind of operates two-dimensional. Like, you have somebody who's in the front, and that's the only person you can use a melee weapon. You can have somebody behind them that's ranged weapon only. Otherwise, they don't attack. You know, and it's to me, it's a very simple but clever game that, yeah, you don't spend a lot of time focusing on the battle itself so much as maybe you just are hovering over the retreat button, making sure that you get the hell out of there before they die, because if they all die, you don't get any of the stuff that you went and collected. So to that end, yeah, it's kind of pared down and simple. Now, the thing that makes this game kind of unique on top of that, and this puts the swag in it, is you build a fashion house at some point.
Really?
And then you have beauty contests. And
oh my God. This took such a sharp turn.
Oh, it's bizarre. Yeah, it's the weirdest damn thing. So you deck them out however you want, and as you manufacture better pieces of gear, armor, or light armor, clothing type stuff, it gets more and more stylish, and you put them on parade, and they get ratings, and you can even bribe the judges to find out what sort of things they favor when they're issuing their grades, and then you go up against some computer-generated ones that may win or lose depending on their loadouts, and as you win, you get reputation, and, you know, with that comes other things, new locations, new buffs, etc., and rewards, resource rewards. So it's an interesting twist I did not expect, but it gives some sense to the name, obviously. It's pretty funny.
Fashion show, that's amazing.
And some of the randoms that they throw up there are pretty funny, as well as the way they're graded. You know, you got these three pixel judges, and they're different people about town. And my favorite is there's like a friar or a priest or something, and occasionally he'll do some kind of Hail Mary when he gives a really low grade. It's hilarious. Just these little details that just made me laugh.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But overall, $13 on Swag and Sorcery. What do you say?
I don't know. For $13, I think it's a lot of fun. It's pretty hard to say no to it. If it were a mobile game, it would probably go for a little bit less, just to be blunt about it. But I don't know. For $13, I can definitely see myself getting my money out of it. I feel like it's a buy it.
Awesome. Sounds good. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Thanks again, everyone, for hanging around and keeping us company. Royal, thanks for coming and doing your thing. I don't know what kind of music to play. Do you have any suggestion?
Putting me on the spot. See, when you ask me for any last thoughts or last words or whatever, I can usually come up with something very bizarre and non sequitur, but you're asking me for a music suggestion.
See, I'm kind of hoping that you'll send me some of your new music that you've been working on, and I'll play it on the show.
Operation Scumbag, very hush hush. I don't have anything ready.
We'll play something. We'll play something.
I'm craving some Metroid Metal.
Metroid Metal?
Yeah.
Sounds good. That makes sense because Stemmage just put out his new album.
Nice.
It's the soundtrack for the new Bubsy game.
Perfect.
So Metroid Metal coming up. Royal, do you have any final words to end the show?
Actually, I don't.
Oh my God. This is two things in a row. You're fired.